Welcome to the February Clinton Macomb Public Library Podcast. We're happy to have you. This is Megan.
And this is Celia.
And this month we are going to talk about romance. Celia, what makes a book a romance book instead of just a book about love?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, Megan. Actually, there are two components of a romance novel, which is also pretty true for romance movies, although you tend to have dramas can have sad endings. Mm. For books, though, it has to have a happy ending or a HEA, as we call it, happily ever after. You can get away with having an HFN, which is a happily for now, but mostly if you're going to have a series. Your readers probably aren't going to be super thrilled with you if you end without some resolution there that is optimistic and satisfying is what it is.
Oh.
And then the other thing is it has to have a central love story, which is true of other books. And the way that I found, and this works for a lot of genres, to figure out which genre it is whichever storyline resolves last is the genre of the book.
Interesting.
So if you have a mystery that also has a love story in it, but the last thing to resolve is a mystery, it's going to be more mystery.
And if the happily ever after
is at the very end, last page, whatever, characters get together, you got a romance.
And we know it's a romance. All right. Yeah. So it sounds like they're usually an uplifting and satisfying read.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, you can have some pretty sad romances out there in the middle, as long as things kind of resolve in the end. So it covers a whole range of emotions throughout the book.
Is there anything, so let's say somebody's new to the romance genre, is there anything that would be like a classic romance?
So a lot of the classic romances, in the way that we think of classics, like they were written a while ago and the authors aren't necessarily still writing or still alive, they kind of don't hold up over time. It is definitely a popular genre. And so what happens a lot with popular genres is they really are telling of the time period.
Yeah.
And so then when you get in looking at it in 2020 and you're like, oh, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah. That sort of leads into, you know, I think people think of romance books and they picture busty women and pirates. Is that the case? Are they all like that?
No. There's a huge variety. There's so many subgenres. I once gave a 20-minute talk on all the subgenres, and I didn't even cover everything. but I'll get into some of them. And the ones that were really accused of being bodice rippers is the old term. One of the blogs I follow calls them old school romances with a K, S-K-O-O-L.
Oh.
So if something feels a little bit not as current as they'd like it to be, they're like, this is an old school.
So thing. Sort of maybe an imbalanced relationship.
Yes.
Those are old school.
Yes.
Okay.
So Regency historicals are kind of the classic subgenre because that is like, you have the Loretta Chase and like Catherine Woodweiss and some of the people who are kind of credited with inventing the idea of the popular current romance novel. I don't necessarily recommend you go back and read them because they're going to feel very old to you. And they definitely are like bodice rippers. The genre has moved a lot far away from the bodice ripper idea, and it focuses more on relationship building and whatever that looks like for the characters. So there's still definitely a central relationship, and most of the story focuses on characters learning about each other and overcoming obstacles, but not necessarily. Although sometimes with pirates still, it's not, the pirates aren't totally gone. Yeah. So as I said, most often historicals are accused of being bodice rippers, but historicals have changed a lot. And some of my recommendations for historicals, because I will throw in some book recommendations throughout this. For example, An Extraordinary Union by Alyssa Cole. Mm. This one is not set in Regency England, which is a huge difference already. It's actually set during the Civil War, and the main characters are both spies for the Union, and the heroine is a former slave who's going undercover in a southern plantation home. And the hero is a Union soldier who's undercover in the Confederate Army. So, yeah, it's intrigue. There's got a biracial romance in there. Yeah, it was voted one of the best books of the year when it came out. I think it's about 2 years old at this point.
Okay.
Cat Sebastian is doing a lot of interesting things with Regency romances, telling some different stories. She writes a lot of LGBTQ romance novels, some of them with biracial couples. There's people who aren't dukes or earls, but are shop owners.
What? There are people in Regency England who aren't dukes or earls?
I mean, there's a couple, but they're delightful. One of her newest one is The Duchess Deception, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, but that one obviously has some royalty in it or some, you know, nobility. And my last suggestion for historicals is The Duchess Deal by Tessa Dare, and that one does have a duke in it. And he's on the hunt for a bride, so you've got this classic setup that you see in Regency's. But the heroine is a seamstress, and how she meets him is she walks into his office wearing the wedding dress he commissioned for his fiance, who then left him, because she's not gotten paid for it. So she walks in wearing this monstrosity of a wedding dress and demands that he pay her for it.
Well, that sounds different for,
yeah,
for Regency England.
It's
all right.
Delightful.
So maybe there aren't classics, but there is sort of a classic subgenre, like you said, historicals, and we've covered that. But you also mentioned movies. So if I'm new to the romance books, but I like romantic comedy movies, you know, I liked The Proposal or things like that. Are there books like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Romantic comedies are the big trend right now. They've been the trend for about a year, and it's still going for sure. So that is exciting because I love rom-com movies, and so then romantic comedies and books are also just as fun, and you can find them at all sorts of heat levels, which is something that you have to talk about when you're talking about romances.
Sure.
When I recommend books to people, I try to remember to tell them whether it is a really steamy romance or whether it has more closed door scenes and kind of fade to black and you can give it to your grandma.
You said at the beginning, encounters, steamy encounters are not a necessity to the genre.
Right.
The relationship is central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the romance isn't necessarily going to have explicit scenes.
Right. Although all of my rom-com suggestions do.
All right. We'll have to get some gentler suggestions a little later on.
Later.
So give us the steamy rom-coms.
The Kiss Quotient by Helen Hong, which Megan also read.
Yep.
I mean, straight out, the hero is a male escort. And the heroine hires him to learn about sex and dating. So this, and she is on the autism spectrum, and it just doesn't really understand the dating interactions. Mm-hmm. And so he arrives to help her with that.
Yes, she approaches this problem very methodically for her.
Yes. Fun.
Quite steamy. I forget where I was reading it, but I was like, oh. It's like that. And it was in public. But it was fine because I was reading.
Yeah.
So nobody else knew.
Yeah. One of my favorites of last year was Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. This is going along with the royalty trend that is also happening in contemporary romances. There's a lot of princes who are undercover and meeting the down-to-earth woman of their dreams.
Sure.
In this case, the romance is between the president's son and the Prince of England. And so they developed this long-distance romance, which is not really sanctioned by the British royal family. Meanwhile, there's a lot of there's an election coming up in the U.S., and so it's got some, like, political intrigue type stuff going on. There's a lot of clandestine meetings and just them trying to keep a long distance relationship together when they're not even really sure they like each other at the beginning.
Ooh.
So we've got a little bit of enemies to lovers. It's very fun. One of the rom-coms that I recommend to everyone if you haven't read it is The Hating Game by Sally Thorne. It is also an enemies to lovers because there's a lot of comedy potential in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's two personal assistants at a publishing house that is actually two publishing houses that have merged together.
Okay.
And so they each work for one of the former heads of the two publishing houses as their assistants. And they work in the same space. They have their desks near each other. And they have been in a prank war on each other for years.
Oh.
Just this, like, little, you did something to me, so I got to do something back to you.
Is it mean-spirited or is it fun?
It's fun because then the relationship changes.
Ah.
Right. So there are definitely some moments where it's like, oh, that was a little bit too far. But only because they've started to change the relationship. Like, they realize maybe they don't hate each other that much. Yeah. But it's very funny.
So, like you said, the relationship learning and growing and changing as they know more about each other.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
So, and then I also wanted to throw out another trend, which, you know, comes and goes and is around, has been around for a long time, sports romances.
Oh.
That's another subgenre of contemporary. And the one I'd recommend is Intercepted by Alexa Martin.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the first book in the series, Football Players.
Aren't they written by an actual football player's wife?
Yes.
So she's got some experience.
Yes. And the main character in the beginning, she has given up on dating football players.
Oh.
But of course it's going to be the one she can't resist. Because that's how the book is going to go. So that's a very fun series, and I do recommend that one.
Nice. Well, what if I'm not really necessarily into love stories at all, but I like mysteries?
Mm. You're going to want to check out the romantic suspense.
What? Romantic suspense?
These sometimes end up in the mystery section, too.
Okay.
So it kind of goes back and forth. Some of the authors write books that are more mystery. Some have more romance in them, so they cross.
So you might find them in either place within our collection. Okay.
Yeah. My personal favorite one is the beginning of the series is Something About You by Julie James.
Okay.
It starts with a, and I'm going to forget her name. You work for the FBI. It's kind of like a lawyer romance with some of, not FBI agents. We'll get back to that.
CIA. CIA. DEA.
Yeah, D.
ATF. More acronyms.
More acronyms. She's
in law enforcement.
She's in law enforcement. And she gets it. She's in a hotel room, and a murder happens next door. In the hotel room next door.
Ugh.
Yes.
They didn't know that she was next door.
Right. And so when the cops show up, conveniently, it's this guy from her past who she used to work with, and they, like, sort of had a thing, but it never came to anything. And now they're thrown together because she was the right next door to a murder.
Okay.
So the whole series takes place in Chicago, which is where the author's from, and it's got these... So there's mystery plots, like, you don't know, there's some murders, there's some crimes going on, and they have to solve them as well as try not to fall in love with each other.
Ugh, but how are we going to get our happily ever after?
Well, once they solve the mystery, you know, then there's nothing stands in their way.
Oh, good.
Also, in romantic suspense, you have this great setup where one or the other characters is usually in mortal peril at the, like, climax of the book. And so then, you know,
definitely a way to add some drama and some high stakes to their relationship.
Right. Yeah. So then if you're going to lose somebody, if they're, you know, in danger of dying, you realize you love them.
Sure. That's and sometimes you need to confess that.
Yes.
Before it's too late.
Right. Yep. My other recommendation for romantic suspense, and these go all the way from more of a cozy mystery with detectives where it's really, you know, like plotted out and there's usually a murder, sometimes amateur detectives, all the way to like really dark mysteries,
mm-hmm.
And gruesome mysteries. So, but always with the relationship in there too. So my other recommendation is a historical mystery, A Study in Scarlet Women by Sherry Thomas. This is a Sherlock Holmes retelling.
Interesting.
Sherlock Holmes is a woman. Her name is Charlotte Holmes, and she pretends that her brother, Sherlock, is an invalid. And so she consults him, when really it's her, and solves crimes. She is also a larger woman who she likes to think of herself as maximum tolerable chins is how she tracks her weight. And she's obsessed with sweets and she's really not good at personal relationships. She just does not understand them.
She does not sound like a quintessential heroine.
No. And she's a fallen woman. She intentionally gets caught with a married man so that she doesn't have to get forced into marriage.
Oh, well, so, you do what you got to do sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, and then that's when Mrs. Watson finds her. And Mrs. Watson is a former actress whose husband died and left her a lot of money so she can fund their mystery operation.
Nice.
It's delightful. I love it.
And now we're going to take a moment to introduce you to a digital service available through the Clinton Macomb Public Library. Do you love audiobooks? You've probably heard of Libby from Overdrive, but have you heard of Cloud Library? Cloud Library offers thousands of audiobooks and ebooks, and now it's available from the CMPL catalog. Simply look for the icon Cloud Library underneath the jacket art for the title you're looking for. You can check out right from the catalog. Cloud Library, try it today.
What about some of the other genres? Are there other genre crossovers? Like, what about sci-fi or fantasy? Are there...
all the genre crossovers. Every single genre you can think of has a romance subgenre. And some of the ones you didn't know were genres are in romance.
Okay.
I will say the romance world, fantasy and sci-fi are definitely there. They do tend to end up more in the fantasy sci-fi section and just are heavier on the romantic content. But not actually a true romance novel.
I see. So it's more of a sci-fi with a romance subplot, but the sci-fi plot finishes last.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So romance, the area that it crosses over into that is really paranormal.
Okay.
That's changing now. I've seen in contests a lot. It's not just paranormal. They'll say it's paranormal, sci-fi, fantasy, time travel.
Ooh, that's a lot.
So they can cover everything. But for a while, it was paranormal. Thank you, Twilight. you know, vampires, werewolves, shapeshifters are huge. Nalini Singh writes the Psy-Changeling series and is currently writing the Psy-Changeling Trinity offshoot series. These have shapeshifters, suspense, assassins. But at the heart of it, there's this psychic ability, which is what all the characters have, or at least one of the characters in every book has that, and that kind of connects the series. But yeah, those are a lot of fantasy, but with shapeshifters in it, which is a little more paranormal.
Okay.
But then you have some that are full fantasy romances, such as Kill the Queen by Jennifer Estep.
Okay.
And that is like Gladiator meets Game of Thrones is how it's pitched.
Wow.
With a strong heroine gladiator type character who has to get revenge on somebody. And that actually, like, Jennifer Estep is a paranormal romance writer. She wrote a whole, she's written different series that are more paranormal aspects. And then this is kind of her foray into something more fantasy heavy, a little more high fantasy, but still with romance.
Well, I like Game of Thrones. Maybe I'll check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had mentioned earlier that sexual content is not necessarily part of it. Mm-hmm. So I like a love story, but I don't want all that graphic detail. So mm-hmm. what are some recommendations that I can get the happily ever after without all the details?
Yeah, there are some authors who write really good closed door love scenes, or that the furthest they go is a kiss at the end. Mm-hmm. Kind of the Hallmark version, movie version of the book. And there's some big names who do. I mean, if you read Debbie May Comer, that's what she writes.
Oh, yeah. She's very big.
But some other lesser known ones. One of my favorite recommendations that everyone who has picked it up has really loved it. Sweet Tea and Sympathy by Molly Harper. Oh. It's very cute. There's this high-powered event planner who screws up an event really bad, involves flamingos. And she goes back to the hometown that she never really knew because her mom took her away from it very young. But it's where her dad's family lives. And they run a funeral parlor / bait shop.
Oh.
So she's working on the funeral parlor side of things. So it's just got a funny setup. There's a quirky cast of characters. There's the high school principal who is a single dad and is, you know, just always seems to be around.
Okay.
And that's the start of a series, and the whole series is delightful.
Nice. So it's always nice to have a hero and a heroine you can root for, but you just mm-hmm. mentioned quirky side characters, and mm-hmm. I do love it when there are interesting people that fill out the whole book.
Yes. In Sweet Tea and Sympathy, there is her grandma rescues dogs to the point where the animal control has to show up all the time. They have a huge area, but she has too many dogs. And she has them all named, and she won't let people adopt them because she's very attached to them. So they have to work with her to, like, set up an actual shelter and maybe let her actually adopt them out right. to candidates who she has vetted very closely. And one of the aunts deep fries everything. So it's just some classic, funny little characters.
Yeah.
My other recommendation for more old-fashioned type of a love story is Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors. Mm. It has a very sweet, slow burn romance is what we call it, when it takes a while for the characters to get together, but there's a lot of romantic tension. And you know they like each other kind of before they know they like each Aww. Other. Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors is a retelling of Pride and Prejudice, except it's flip-flopped. So the Mr. Darcy character is the heroine, and she is a neurosurgeon. And the Elizabeth Bennet character is a chef whose sister has a brain tumor that only the neurosurgeon heroine can remove.
So they're forced together.
It's got a lot of great Indian food in it. Mm. The heroine's family is from India. And the hero is half British, half Indian. So there's just amazing descriptions of food in there. It'll make you very hungry.
All right. So level with me. What if I'm, you know, not on the Hallmark side? I'm mm-hmm. ready for something a little wilder.
Yeah, we've got those too. You can usually tell by the covers. They often are just like a dark cover with like a necklace on it or Ooh. A flower or a shoe or something.
Leaving a lot to the imagination?
Yes, but the title you can kind of, I mean, they're like tempted, obsessed. Ooh. Yeah.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah. One of the series that is really popular at the library is the Misadventures series. Mm-hmm. You can find them. They're all by different authors, but they all start with Misadventures. Those are definitely pretty steamy, fast reads. Right. They come out every few months. And a lot of the authors also have other books in the library. So if you really enjoyed one of their books, you can find their other series.
So the Misadventures, you could kind of sample a few different authors.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Nice. And then my other recommendation author is Maya Banks. She writes both kind of erotica romance or erotic romance and suspense, steamy romantic suspense. So she's got a little bit of everything in there. And the first review I read of hers was that it was like 50 Shades but better. And I was like, oh, okay.
Kind of a low bar.
I know, it's a low bar. 50 Shades but better written.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh
yeah.
Okay,
I mean, I guess that's what I assumed.
Right, right. Yeah. So I would recommend her if you're looking for something on that level, but maybe better written.
More of a story.
More of a story.
All right. All of these recommendations for different genres and new people to romance. What if I've been reading romance for years? Mm-hmm. Who's new? What's fresh?
Some of my current favorites, which hopefully you haven't discovered yet. If you like the romantic comedies, Penny Reed, we just got a bunch of her books in there. She's been writing for a few years, but we haven't had her books. She mostly self-publishes. And self-publishing is a little harder to get a hold of. Neanderthal Seeks Human is her first one. She's very
funny. Is
there
an actual Neanderthal in it?
I don't know. Okay. I think it's just that they're referring to the hero as Neanderthal.
I see.
I haven't read that series yet. I'm also a new Penny Reed. I'm more of a sideline fan at the moment. Okay. So I still have yet to read everything she's ever written because lot of books, but her fan following is pretty impressive, and she's,
especially as a self-published author, that's good when you can get new readers self-publishing.
Yeah, so that one, well. A series that I'm just finishing up right now is The Boys of Jackson Harbor by Lexi Ryan. The first one is The Wrong Kind of Love. And I know a couple other people in the library have discovered it because every time I check one out, there's always holds on it then because other people are waiting for the next one. It's delightful. It's brothers who own a brewery in the it's in Michigan, but fictional Jackson Harbor, Michigan, which is kind of over like Grand Rapids area.
Okay.
They own a brewery. They've got, best friends they're not trying not to fall in love with, your best friend's girlfriend, the newcomer to town whose fiance just left her for her twin sister. Like, you know, it's got all the tropes, but it actually has a lot of, it's got a lot of serious stuff going on for the characters, too. So they have to work through some pretty serious issues in order to get to their happily ever afters. So worth it when they do. And then couple other things. I have so many things. The Ripped Bodice is the only all romance bookstore, the biggest one. I don't know if it's the only one, but it's in LA. I will go there someday. But
and it's a bookstore called The Ripped Bodice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Continue.
They're definitely have a little bit of a homage.
Tongue in cheek,
yes, to that. They put out their first awards actually on Friday, on Valentine's Day. Winners of their first book awards, they were all fabulous. We have them all. Things like Alyssa Cole's latest books, one of the sequels to An Extraordinary Union, two of the books from her Princess in Theory.
And that's a modern prince and princess
royalty
situation.
Yeah. Yes. My favorite novella from that one, and I'm going to forget the title right now, but I think it is Can't Buy Me Love. But that could be wrong because that's also just a generic title. We'll look that up later. I'll let you know.
But it's by Alyssa Cole at the library.
Yes.
So.
And you can find it if you come in for it. Get a Life, Chloe Brown won an award. That one is on our Hot Reads table right now. The Right Swipe by Alicia Ray.
I think that's on the Hot Reads table too.
It is. Yeah. So there's a lot of great stuff that won awards this year, which you can find at the library. Those are some great recommendations. And my final one doesn't come out until Tuesday.
What?
But I'm excited about it. I'm not usually into cowboy romances. It's another big subgenre, westerns, but they're definitely not the westerns your grandpa reads. they are Westerns with cowboys and
rodeos.
Sometimes a rodeo. Definitely cowboy hats. They usually own a ranch or somebody owns a ranch. And they're usually grumbly and kind of standoffish and like, I came out here to be alone. And so they're delightful. There's a lot of great cowboy books that have been coming out. And the one I'm excited about is A Cowboy to Remember by Rebecca Weatherspoon.
Ooh, I think I've seen that cover.
Mm-hmm. It's got a shirtless man on the cover, but it also has an amnesia plot in it, which...
Interesting.
I'm not always into amnesia plots, but every once in a while they're super fun. Mostly because it's so ridiculous and very soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it's like, okay, amnesia doesn't happen that much. So it starts out fun right from the get-go.
But if you haven't read an amnesia book in a while, it might be
the way to go. Yeah.
All right, so it sounds like no matter what your direction that you want to go in with romance, you can mm-hmm. find a happily ever after, and maybe February is the month to do it.
Yep, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of genres out there. They range from serious books, super ridiculous over-the-top books. There's sweet books. There's like borderline erotica books. There's just a little bit of everything. And so I encourage people to kind of get over the stigma around reading romance that it's, I don't even need to list the stigmas. You can, I'm sure you've heard them.
Let go of your preconceived notions.
Yes. And just remember that it is $1 billion a year industry and is huge. There's a lot of writers, there's a lot of readers, there's a lot of perspectives and opinions, and really, it's just, they're just talking about love.
And there's a lot of fun and good stories to be had.
For sure.
All right. We'll see you next time, and come into the library to pick up any of these books or ask for more recommendations. See you next time.